This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. 8 hours away from the Bears on the clock. I'm sure they'll send it in pretty quickly. Then Washington will be on the clock as well. Ben Standing is on the clock right now with us, as he is multiple times a week. At Ben Standing on X, on Twitter. He writes, of course, for The Athletic. He's got a podcast called Standing Room Only. And Ben is the only three-time winner of the Huddle Report's mock draft contest for mock drafters. Ben has gotten it right more often than some of the big names in the business, and he has submitted his mock draft, which was due in, I think, last night. And so, even though when we talked the other day, I forget if it was on the air or off, you were starting to get some J.J. McCarthy vibes, you stuck with Jaden Daniels. Why?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think like everybody else who's doing this, like at some point you're just bored talking about all the same stuff and something new is, you know, gets more fun. I'm not saying that it was like that. I'm just saying that, you know, as I sit back and look at the whole situation and you know, thinking about everybody I've been talking to, whatever, I just think McCarthy he's not cleaner than the other two. I just think like the swing isn't as wild. It's a little more maybe slightly conservative play. The other two had the bigger upside, but maybe like a little more downside, arguably. I don't know. I mean, look, this whole thing has been nuts. I'm thrilled it's today. You know, even just since I've talked to you last on Monday, you know, I've had, I don't even know, dozens of conversations over text or phone or whatever. And that's not to say anything other than just everybody has different opinions. It's very hard to find anybody who is saying the same thing about anybody. You know, and throughout this whole process, it's just been, you know, kind of nuts. And, you know, the Jaden Daniels thing, whether Washington is actually going to ultimately pull the trigger on him, I think so, but I'm still not going to say 100% because who knows.
What percent would you say?
I wouldn't.
I'm requiring you to give a percent on it. You submitted it as your mock draft. How confident are you in Daniels at two?
I'm not confident, but it's me. I mean, I could see, here's the thing. I could sit here and act all tough, as I hear people do, but I'd be lying to you because they're lying to you. Unless I hear it from somebody over there.
Stop worrying about reaction from social media or anybody else.
What benefit
you're
is
a three-time mock draft champion. You can actually crow a little bit about your bona fides when it comes to this.
So this is a societal issue. If the people who come out and act like they have the answers tend to get people to follow them.
I'm not asking. I recognize you don't have the answers. We both understand that, but I'm just curious, as we sit here 8 hours before this thing starts, what percent chance do you think Jaden Daniels goes to Washington?
I don't know. I'll say 90, but that's
okay.
I'm pulling that out of thin air. I think this tweet was crazy, but did you see this Peter Schrager comment a little earlier on the NFL Network?
No. What did he say?
He says exactly what I've been saying for weeks, that anybody who claims they know what Washington is going to do is lying. But he said, for his rationale, is because basically one of his best friends is Cliff Kingsbury. Even Cliff Kingsbury isn't telling him. Now, I personally think that's an insane way to frame it, that one of your best friends isn't telling you. But my point is, that was his claim, that he's saying he doesn't know, and one guy he's like really tight with is in the building. So I had yesterday's a GM, like not a rando source, an actual GM tell me he's hearing Drake May. Now, do I know that's accurate? I don't know, but that's what I'm telling you. No matter what anybody is telling me, none of the sources have, I mean, again, can you point to anybody, Schefter on down, anybody who has said sources say they're taking Daniels? No. That's all I'm saying. Like, nobody officially knows.
But have we had anybody say sources say the Bears will take Caleb Williams?
I understand, but
I'm just curious. Have we had a sources say the Bears are taking Caleb Williams? I don't know the answer to that.
It's a massively different story. Caleb Williams has not been talking to other teams. He basically ended. Everybody ended their pursuit both ways once the combine happened.
What do you make of my theory that I presented yesterday, which is the league wants the cliffhanger to hang in there until tonight? That they've said maybe, hey, if you have your guy, if you just make sure that you keep it to yourselves until you're on the clock, because right now that's been the most dramatic conversation, and we'd like to not have it settled after the one that is settled goes off the board at number one.
Sure. I mean, it's a television show, but, you know, you can't control these things typically. I mean, I'm just saying, like, to your point of, you know, me being this magnificent mock draft champion, that in the past it's been much easier to guess without anybody saying what's going to happen at 2 and 3 and things like that. I'm just saying this year the information is just been so limited that, sure, they could be saying that, or it could just be what we've been dealing with for the last 4 months. Now, I do assume that they know what they're doing. This isn't like me and Denton are fantasy football drafts, like waiting for 5 seconds or less before hitting the button to pick somebody. But, you know, at the same time, they've just been that level of quiet this whole time. So, you know, sure. I'm sure that the NFL would be thrilled if they didn't leak any more to this point, because why would, you know.
For all of our discussion, and it's, I think, justified, and I think it's accurate, about how much this organization has changed and how tight-lipped it is, we didn't know that it was going to be Emmanuel Forbes last year at 16. I understand 16's different than 2. All right.
If you had asked me that question, I would have told you 90%.
Last year?
Go back and look what I was writing.
I felt a strong lean to. I thought, and I was hearing Forbes too. No, people were hearing things. Like, you're right, but there was. Remember, they considered trading up with was it New England a couple of spots ahead of them, because the Jets ended up trading up for, or Pittsburgh ended up trading up into New England's spot and drafting the offensive lineman from Georgia.
Remember what New England said? One of their front office people said they knew they could trade down below Washington, even though they wanted a cornerback, because they knew they were taking Forbes.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
Right.
That was how confident they were that they were Washington wouldn't take the cornerback who, on most people's boards, was rated higher. So I'm just
we didn't know Davis the year before. We certainly weren't sure about Dotson the year before, or Davis the year before that.
No, Dotson was out of there. Jamin Davis, I 100% had as my, like, when I did my three mock.
That's why I'm giving you all the love. You're the one that gets it right every year.
And thus, you should have listened to me when I'm telling you I'm not confident in getting you a number.
You gave me 90%. You gave me
90%. That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, I'm gonna murder you. Go ahead.
You know what? Actually, I think one of your theories from last year was 100% spot on. When they released that, you know, video with Martin Mayhew and Ron and everybody talking about, you know, Martin's been on the phone with the Patriots about the potential trade up to the Patriots spot, which was two spots ahead of them. I think, and you're the one that said this, that it would have been Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end pass rusher from Iowa that ended up getting drafted by the Packers. And you suggested that that may have been the move. And if that had happened, they probably would have traded on that day or within a day or two, Chase Young.
Possibly, sure. I mean, it seemed obvious at that, because I guess they had just declined his fifth year option. I had this discussion the other day. So, I mean, I think we kind of knew that Chase Young writing was on the wall, except for the fact that we don't know who the owner is going to be.
Yeah.
And like, just to be clear for people, it's not like Ron Rivera or anybody over there was like calling me up going, hey, just so you know, we really like Emmanuel Forbes. I'm just saying, like, the way the information gets out, you can tell by the thrust of the information coming into you and the consistency that it's coming in, that there's some validity to it. I mean, yes, if I can't say that I knew it would be Forbes, but then simultaneously say, I think they might be trying to trade up for somebody else. But I'm just saying they have clear interest in that guy. Here, they're picking two. I think they like Jaden Daniels, and that's what I picked. That's what I would say. But I don't know. We'll see.
You know, as I'm thinking about last year, I remember some of the information that I had with respect to Darnell Wright was his name, the Tennessee offensive lineman. They really liked him, and they would have taken him had he fallen to them at 16, but he went like 9 or 10. Overall, something like that. For those that thought, you know, that they had no interest in helping, you know, Sam Howell with offensive lineman picks, they didn't do enough. There's no doubt about that, but I think they actually wanted to draft right. Here's a question for you, and we'll get away from – you've mocked Jaden Daniels, and I actually want to come back to your mock and talk about the rest of the draft, which we haven't done enough of over the last couple of weeks. But based on who they pick tonight, will we learn anything about how they're going to conduct themselves as it relates to the draft, roster construction, et cetera?
I don't think so. I mean, the only thing I would sort of say is, if it is Jaden Daniels, a guy who played started five years in college, 53 career starts, I think you'd have to feel pretty confident to say he's the week one starter, barring the unforeseen. Whereas if it's somebody else, guys who are younger, who started less than 30 games, then I have to put the Mariota thing in play, and then, you know, that could change some things in either direction. That could change a couple things. But, like, you know, the roster is pretty much what it is. I mean, sure, they can sign players in the third wave of free agency after the draft, but, and I suspect they probably even will, depending on, you know, who gets cut. But, like, in general, I mean, it's kind of what it is. I guess my thing is, I think this is my assumption or guess. I think the mistake that everybody keeps making is that they look at the moves based on this year. And I think that is wrong. I think it's the moves based on 2025. They would not, if they were worried about winning this year to the degree like making the playoffs, I think they're much more aggressive in free agency when it comes to signing bigger name players. This was about filling in the roster, trying to set, you know, change the tone, change the tenor. They took some upside flyers on guys like Jeremy Chinn and Austin Eckler. We'll see. But this was about just starting from the base level and building up. Next year, going forward, now that's where I think we see more of like what Adam Peters really wants to do in terms of shaping this roster. So, you know, I just think that whatever they're going to do, like if you tell me they went best player available with every pick within reason tonight, I'd be like, sure, I'd buy that. You know, I mean, like while I would say offensive tackle and edge rusher are probably like the two positions I would target for those 2 second round picks. If you told me they ended up with a linebacker and tight end, I'd be like, eh. If that's, you know, like they need everything. So, you know, the only thing I think you have to do somewhat is make sure you're putting your quarterback in the best position possible. But other than that, whatever moves they're going to make going forward are about, you know, building blocks and in turn, just like from to stabilize the situation and then go from there. This isn't, you know, I, by the way, I understand if you're a fan paying for tickets, you're like, are you serious, Ben? Another losing season. When's the last time they won? It's been forever, right? I get that. But like from an organizational standpoint, they would be better off most likely having another top 10 pick. This isn't CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud came in after Houston had 3 years of high draft picks, including multiple ones and twos the year before. This is the other way. This is the quarterback first, and then you have to tack on more. By the way, as evidenced by today, where Jamin Davis's fifth-year contract option is being declined. That means
as most players actually end up having their fifth-year option not picked up.
Well,
it's majority that don't get picked up.
But it's after Chase Young too. The 2020
yes.
class is entirely
right.
gone. Now
yep.
the next first-round pick, and it's not like, you know, Dotson, we'll see. Last year was, you know, a little quiet. And then Forbes, you know, it was a tough year. So there's not a lot to start from. That you know, so anyway, I just think that for me, it's all about the future much more than whatever happens this year.
Yeah, let me just say this real quickly about your Houston thing, because you and I have talked about this before. Houston was supposed to be horrible last year. They drafted C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson within 3 picks of each other, or within 2 picks of each other, or whatever it was last year. They got Tank Dell in whatever round that was. They added some significant Devin Singletary last year that created a lot of what became the support for the quarterback. It wasn't that they were teed up and it was time to go get a quarterback. No one thought that way about their roster before last year.
Well, no, but they were picking, but they didn't go to get a quarterback. They were picking second. It's not like they traded up 12 picks or they signed Kirk Cousins to $160 million. They had
right.
the second pick. They took the guy that the first team passed on, and they went from there. But also, like, C.J. Stroud is such an outlier. Like, Justin Herbert
That's
was
true.
Really good as a rookie, and they were under 500, or
yep,
what, at 500?
They
like, they, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think this thing last year is an outlier more than the norm. For
right.
what Houston did.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here telling you that, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to be on a roster, if it's Jaden Daniels, that is better than Houston's roster was last year, because it isn't. I would have said that last year had they had the number 2 pick and taken a quarterback, but not this year, although who knows with the additions they've made. No, back to the question that I asked you, I personally think that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that the only thing they're thinking of is winning. The only goal here is to add players that will help them win in the future. You know, improve their team now and win big in the future. I think some of the fan reaction is going to be interesting, because I personally don't think anybody would be outraged if they took J.J. McCarthy. Some people feel that way.
You're not on Twitter enough.
I'm not. That's true. I have normal conversations with normal people much of the time. And actually, I have several friends that actually love J.J. McCarthy and would prefer J.J. McCarthy. But I think that my sense is that most of the fans, you know, excluding whatever low percentage are on Twitter, are benefit of the doubt mode and will trust for the first time in a while, and that there won't be an outrageous reaction to J.J. McCarthy if they pick him, or Drake May. I don't think I I don't think the buildup for the expectation that it's going to be Jaden Daniels has been so overwhelming that there will be disappointment if it's not.
Yeah, well, this goes back to, what I think is going to be, for me, a very interesting look at what's happened here the last, 4 months. Because, again, a lot of people weren't thrilled with the Dan Quinn hire, not because necessarily he wasn't Ben Johnson, but because right. the framing allowed it to be that everybody thought they were getting this hotshot offensive coordinator, and instead it was a guy who was already been fired once as the head coach. Again, Dan Quinn might be, Bill Belichick was fired. Lots of people have been fired, though I'm not knocking him. But the framing of it was such that people were caught off guard. If they don't take Jaden Daniels at this point, it's going to be the same thing. Now, maybe Drake May won't be as extreme, but again, everybody's now sort of talked themselves into it's going to be Daniels, and now they're like, wait, what?
Daniels like, equals Ben Johnson?
From the perspective of what everybody, again, the problem, I think, I'm not saying what, like, they don't give, the Commanders don't give a crap what we're all thinking about. I mean that in a good way.
I hope not.
Right. But what I'm saying is that this level of, it's like, go back to the 49ers where Adam Peters just came from.
Yeah.
They trade up to 3, clearly didn't have an idea exactly what they wanted to do. It was framed immediately as it's going to be Mac Jones, which freaked people out. People got less freaked out when they took Trey Lance, a quarterback who had played D2 and had played one game in 18 months, but okay. And then he doesn't work. If they don't get unbelievably lucky and Brock Purdy isn't the guy they take with the last pick of the draft, is Adam Peters even the GM here today? I don't know. I mean, the Niners would be getting killed. But
yeah,
they got lucky.
And it was Brian Griese's pick, apparently, Purdy. Although maybe Garoppolo would have continued to be the quarterback. I forget the time.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Kyle Shanahan's obviously proven he can win with a lot of different pieces.
Yeah.
So who knows what would have happened. But,
they got that one
fine.
Loud wrong as of now.
Right. So, look, just because you telegraph things doesn't mean it's going to work out either. I just think there's something to be said for laying the groundwork for what it is to prepare everybody to a degree. And, right or wrong, they've chosen not to do that with the coaching search and now this. So, yeah, I do. While I'm not saying Jaden Daniels is Ben Johnson, I am saying if the pick is all of a sudden something completely out of left field relative to what we think, forget what you and I think because you and I are paying attention to all of it. But in general, people are my friends who don't pay attention. They just ask me what's going to happen. They're going to be like, "What the hell? He was telling me Jaden Daniels."
Yeah, there's no doubt with my friends when they've asked me. I have caveated everything with, honestly, I've told you guys things in the past where I had a really strong hunch and felt good about it. This time, I feel like it's going to happen, but it's not for the same reasons that I have felt it was going to happen in the past. So let's look at the rest of your mock draft, maybe a fourth time winner of the Huddle Report's mock draft. So if it goes Williams-Daniels, does May, you've got May going 3 to the Patriots. That really is then that linchpin part of the draft because a lot of people, I believe, think that the Patriots could be open to accepting a deal there, right?
I think so. I mean, I think there's been all this talk recently, as you've heard, I'm sure, that the Giants are supposedly in the quarterback game. I mean,
right.
To me, that seems kind of weird, but okay, let's just say that that's accurate. Well, they apparently are also more interested in Drake May, right? Minnesota as well. Minnesota, I mean, I don't know if the New England's going to be willing to trade at all. I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess they like Drake May and they're like, bug off. But, if there's an actual bidding war, if the Giants and the Vikings want him, well, then maybe, maybe the bid gets up enough that the Patriots are like, well, all right. Let's roll the dice and we'll figure something else out. I think the same thing would then happen at the Cardinals at 4 and the Chargers at 5. The top 4 picks, I think I feel pretty good about those. Even the Cardinals staying, although they're, last year they were the team that dropped down then came back up.
Right.
The Chargers for me is where it gets interesting. Like yesterday, I was busy working, and then the Daryl Green thing happened. I had to deal with that. Congrats to Daryl Green. Yep. And some other stuff. So I kind of maybe missed that. Ironically, I already had JC Latham at 11 to the Chargers in the trade down. So I maybe missed the memo that everybody else ran to. I don't know if it's because Daniel Jeremiah had them going 5 and he's worked with the Chargers in their preseason broadcast. So people think he knows what's going on with them. Probably does. So my point is, if the Chargers don't trade out, if they stay, well, now it gets super interesting. Are the Giants going to take McCarthy there? I don't know. Do they think he's, they have Daniel Jones, they won a playoff game with this guy a year ago. Does it make sense to take a quarterback when you need a receiver and they got to probably win this year, I would think, to maybe keep their jobs? Then you get to 7. I think the Titans are rolling with Will Levis. You get to 8. The Falcons don't need a quarterback, but maybe that's a team that trades down for someone. But then, you've got Minnesota at 11, the Broncos at 12, the Raiders at 13. I think that puts those teams now in some sort of a competition. So I the McCarthy thing to me is just fascinating. How good do people think he is? Is he worth trading up whatever that cost is? Or is it ultimately he is a guy that has been pushed up a bit too much in all these conversations, and he's not being viewed as strong as, right, to some degree we've all talked about for the last 2 months.
All right. Got to wrap it up here. But give me in your mock. First of all, you did not have Washington trading back into the first round to select a player, which we kind of talked about the other day, your thoughts on why that might not happen. The fact that the offensive linemen that they brought in weren't necessarily guys that would be taken in the first round, might be available where they're picking in the second round. You had some other reasons. I forget what they were. But on the rest of your mock draft, give me the one or two picks that you think you're going to look really smart on.
Well, I think Darius Robinson, the defensive lineman from Missouri, I have him going 29 of the Lions. I kind of like that fit. I think that's a good one. He's got a lot of praise this week and something my colleague Bruce Feldman wrote. So I think that one I kind of like. Somebody yesterday suggested to me the Xavier Worthy to Miami, which would be insane considering he ran the fastest 40 time of all time, joining Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But, Waddle's been – last year was not his best year. And, sometimes it makes sense to add to a strength instead of trying to fix a weakness. So that's one. The biggest thing I did in my mock, if it hits, you can throw me a parade. That is the Colts trading up from 15 to 8 to get – Rome Odunze, or in theory, a receiver. It could be Brock Bowers, could be neighbors there, but I had Odunze. The reason why it would be Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, has not once traded up in the first round. But as I was trying to piece things together from what I was hearing, and even a little bit more today now, I just get the feeling that the Colts, who've been kind of stuck, the last few years for whatever the reason, part of it was Carson Wentz, but there was more than just that. The teams in their division made a bunch of good moves, right? Or at least aggressive moves. And the Colts have Anthony Richardson. They at some point have to get more. So if that happens, that would be – I'm basically calling for something to happen that's never happened. But I do get the sense that the Colts have been looking to move up. Now it'll be about the cost, and we'll see if I get that one right.
Did they end up signing Michael Pittman Jr. to a contract extension, or is he playing under the tag? I forget how that worked out.
I think they signed him. I think so.
They did? Okay. All right. Good luck tonight on your mock draft, and we will be in contact. Ben will be on with us tomorrow as well. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Wait. What percentage chance are you giving Jaden Daniels as the pick?
I've had it at 75 to 80%.
Oh, wow.
And I think I went to 80 today.
Oh, wow. Okay. I feel like I got snookered. All right. Well, now I'm
You didn't ask me first. I hope my answer wouldn't have influenced yours at all. It shouldn't. You're the champ here. We're going to see Jaden Daniels selected number 2 tomorrow.
What's the line about the burden of the crown?
Yeah, but you know what? I forgot to mention this. Did you see this, Denton? I've seen now Daniels number two overall at minus 600. Like, the odds are astronomical now, him at number two.
Well, sure, again, everybody's saying it, but that doesn't...
I understand that, but that's not how typically the odds are made in Vegas. But for things like this,
it is,
a lot
it
of
is for the
tea,
draft, it is.
Tea leaf. Actually, I'm now looking at a site where Daniels is minus 900 to be the second pick in the draft.
Well, the market was just flooded with everybody's mock drafts, and I don't know if I saw a single person of note put Drake May there. So everybody's picking Daniel.
You know what? Some drama tonight, hopefully. We'll see. Thanks. Appreciate it, as always.
See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. All right. We will open it up to phone lines and calls. Simply put, what do you want them to do tonight? Who do you want them to take? Give me a reason. And is there something they could do tonight that you would be disappointed with? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.